to the book of Acts, and fourth chapter is primarily where I'll be reading from today, but I want to go back and give some background for that chapter from the third chapter before we get into it. In fact, you know, usually I pray after we've read scripture, but I got so many things to share with you in the process of reading this particular passage today. Let's pray to start, all right? Let's pray to start. So, Father, we do come to you today and thank you for the scriptures as always. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who's inspired these words. And we trust now that the Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our understanding and inspire them to our hearts to produce life in us. May your word, Father, truly be the seed that produces abundant life in each and every one of your children. May we receive it engrafted, that word which is able to save our souls and transform our lives. We thank you for it, praise you for it, and expect to be different when we leave here in a little while. And we give you thanks for that as well. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So let's start. You found the Acts chapter 3 and 4. Let's just start here. Let me just give you some background of what's happening in all of this at this point in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, you'll remember, in the third chapter, Peter and John are going into the temple. It's the hour of prayer, afternoon prayer. And they're going into the temple to worship and to offer praise and prayers to the Lord. There's a man outside of the temple that's never walked before. He's a beggar. He's begging alms of all who pass by. Sees Peter and John, believes, hopes that they're going to give something to him as they pass by. Peter looks at him and says, "We don't have silver and gold, but what we have we'll give to you. In Jesus' name, rise and walk." The man is immediately healed, goes into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. Of course, you can understand this draws a crowd. A lot of people come around to see what's going on. And there's great testimony of what the Lord has done in this man's life. They begin to boldly, if you look down at verse at chapter 4, as you get into the fourth chapter, Peter and John, of course, at the end of the third chapter there, they begin to preach Jesus as a result of the miracle that's taken place. People want to know, how has this happened? What's happened? What's going on here? All of these kinds of things. And so Peter and John, as they all always did, take the opportunity to preach the gospel to the people that are there that day. Tells us as we go into the fourth chapter, of course, you have to remember that in the history of this time, the Jews were always careful about what went on around in the temple area, that things wouldn't get too rowdy, because if they got too rowdy, the Romans would come in and squash what they were doing. And so there's a commotion that's raised because of the miracle that's taking place. And sure enough, the temple police come by to find out what's going on. We see that as we get into the beginning of the fourth chapter here. Peter and John are arrested because of what they've done. And they're brought to, and I want to highlight these names. I was going to do it later. We'll do it right now. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 5, on the next day the rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas, the high priest, heard that name lately? How about it when Jesus was arrested, was Annas. Caiaphas, the next one is listed there. John and Alexander, others of the household that would take priestly duties. These are the men who have arrested Peter and John and have thrown them into prison. These are the same ones that had Jesus arrested and ultimately crucified. Okay, that's important for us to understand as we go through our message that I want to share with you this morning. Our message today, and I'll just give you the headline now instead of waiting for later, I want to talk about how you and I can be bold for Jesus. Okay, we need to stir up the fire. Somebody talked about the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God. We need to stir up the fire of God in our heart today as believers. And every single one of us has the potential within us by the presence of the Lord to be bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my goal today, is to stir your heart in that direction so that we would do things, say things, take steps, speak out maybe in ways that we've never done before in order to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 8. As they bring Peter and John before them to question them about all that's going on, Peter responds and says, it says there in verse 8, filled with the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Spirit of God rises up in Peter, tells him what needs to be said and done in this particular situation. Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Ananias and Caiaphas, rulers and elders of the people, if we're on trial for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health. They can't challenge this. The man is exactly what Peter said. The man is standing there. This man that had never walked before is standing right there in their presence. There's nothing they can say about it. Peter's right. And so they can't challenge what Peter is saying. All they can do is threaten Peter and John, which of course is exactly what they do. Peter and John would go back to the body, to the church, and look down. I want to finish with this today, with these verses to get us started this morning. Verse 24, Acts 4, verse 24 to 31. Peter and John come back to the church body. And having been released, having been threatened, They are returned to the church body, and it says, as they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the nations rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, with all boldness, while you extend your hand and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Father, help us to follow their example. So this morning I want to talk to you about being bold for the Lord as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know today that every single one of us have been called of God to be influencers in our world? That's a big word today that's used in social media. Influencers. If you're an influencer on social media, it means you've got the attention of a lot of people, and a lot of people listen to you. God wants you and I to be influencers in our world as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of us, our world not very big, okay? Some of us, our world is a pretty big place. We're involved in social groups and maybe school things and the neighborhood and all of these kinds of things. And maybe our world is a little bit bigger than somebody else's world. God doesn't give to us all the same responsibility. But whatever responsibility we have, and however big our world is, you and I are supposed to be influencers in that world. Influencers with the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing the Lord so that the world may know our Lord and Savior. The world needs to know what you know. Let me ask you a question. Look here at again with me at Acts chapter 4. And I want you to read with me just verse 12. As Peter goes on to speak to the group there, or to those that have arrested them and persecuted them. Peter says, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. How many of y'all believe that today? How many of you believe you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to find salvation? How many of you have surrendered your lives to Jesus? And you made that call and you said, Jesus, come into my heart. Save me from my sins. Forgive my sins. Save my soul. Listen, brother and sister, the world needs to know what you know. The world needs to hear what you've heard. And it's our responsibility to take that word to the world so that they have the opportunity to receive Christ themselves. You and I are to be bold about it. We are to be witnesses to the world in a bold way so that the world can know Him. Our series is A Church That Pleases God. We've talked about walking by faith. A church that pleases God is a church that walks by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. We talked about love. Loving people the way Jesus loves people. Church that pleases God is a church that's loving people the way God loves people. Sacrificing, serving, forgiving, whatever it takes so that people can see Christ in us. Last week we talked about living in the fear of the Lord. Living in the respect of God and the reverence of the Lord in such a way that our lives are transformed so that people can truly see Christ in us. Today we want to talk about a church that pleases God is a church that's bold for Jesus Christ. A church that's on fire for the Lord. A church that is boldly witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people are bold about a lot of things. In fact, most of us are bold about something. Most of us are bold about something, sometimes not the right thing. But sometimes, typically all of us are bold about something. I was thinking about it today in this past week about the world that we live in today and the things that people have done in our world today. People, men and women who are bold, who are selfless, who are fearless, who are confident, who'll go out and take the risk, who'll go out and do things that maybe the rest of us wouldn't give a thought to. We've got astronauts that just went around the moon and came back, went further away from mankind than any other people have ever been before when they went around behind the moon this particular time. And I remember when they took off just a couple of months ago and they put those people in a little capsule, and I'll just tell you, I freaked out when they got in that capsule. You know, this room here, this is about as small a room as I like to be in. Any smaller than this, I don't want to be there. You know, I've got a little claustrophobia. And so when they put those people in that thing, and I thought, they're going to live in there for a month? Are you kidding me? That was bold for me. I was proud of them for that. But people, there are people in the world today who'll take risks. People in the world, explorers throughout history, who have done things in boldness and confidence and just willing to do things that others are not. First responders in our culture today. People that are bold, who will run to the problem instead of running away from it. There's a boldness, there's a confidence in these people to do the things that they do. Many people today are bold about putting out their political opinions. And you know, that's fine. Thank God we live in a country where we can speak our political opinions. Whether you like them or not, whatever you're hearing, you should thank God that we live in a nation that has the freedom to say the things that we're allowed to say in the United States, okay? We should thank the Lord for that. And so thank God for the freedom to be bold if we want to about our political opinions and things like that. I will say this about that, okay? Let's be sure, even if we are spreading our political opinions, let's be sure our priorities are in order. Here's what I mean by that. Listen to me. If your political convictions and opinions are stronger than your spiritual convictions and opinions, your priorities may be out of order. See, let's be sure first things are first, okay? And the Lord is always first in all things. And God wants us to be bold where our spiritual opinions are concerned and speaking out for the Lord is concerned and all of these kinds of things. He wants us to be bold in sharing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Always be ready, Peter tells us. Always be ready to give an account of the hope that's within you. Be ready at all times. If anybody should ask you, why are you so hopeful? Why are you so excited about life? To be able to tell people, the reason I feel the way that I do, even though things are just terrible in the world, I still have hope in my heart because Jesus is Lord. And it doesn't matter what else is going on in the world, that's never going to change. He is now, always has been, and always will be Lord. And I know I can come to Jesus and find peace, and find courage, and find hope, and find expectation, and find the goodness of God. And it'll be there, and He never changes. And so we need to always be ready to share that good hope that's within us. We need to be bold to do it. We need to be speaking up. How many of you, and I guarantee you all of us could say yes to this. You were in a conversation, and somebody said something negative about the world or about maybe even Christianity. And we knew we had a golden opportunity to speak up and say something, but we didn't take it. And we were fearful, and we were timid, and we sat back, we stood back, we didn't speak up the way that the Lord wants to. We have to remember, we need to always do so in a spirit of love, but we need to take every opportunity. And listen, I just tell you this. Most people in the world have got something to complain about. Every complaint is an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. This world is such a terrible, awful place. Oh, yeah, but you know what, brother? There's a world that's coming that's going to be so awesome. And if you'll just come along with me and let's walk together with Jesus, we're going to spend eternity in that world that the writers of Scripture called paradise. Oh, today was just an awful day. Everything, if it could go wrong, it went wrong. Anybody ever had a day like that? If it could go wrong, it went wrong. Yeah, but you know what? The Bible says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases and His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. May have been a bad day today, but look, tomorrow's a brand new day. And God is there, and He's waiting on us to get there. And by His hand, He can take care of us. And even if things don't change in the natural, you know what? Our heart can change. In fact, I'll just tell you this. I think I really honestly believe that God is much more concerned about changing our heart than He is about changing our circumstances. I really believe that. I honestly believe that. God is more concerned about our heart. And listen, when your heart changes, it doesn't matter what happens with the circumstances. You're okay now. You're at peace. You're comforted. You have the joy of the Lord, even though the circumstances didn't change. And so, I'm not sure how I got off on that, but listen, God wants us to be bold in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself, listen, Jesus Himself is our example of boldness. You know, if you've ever read the gospel, you know how bold Jesus was anywhere He went, anytime He talked, whoever He talked to. He wasn't afraid to speak the truth in every situation, and it didn't matter who was there listening. He spoke the truth. He always, I'm convinced, always did it in a spirit of love. Every one of those Pharisees, read the Bible and the Pharisees just pluck your nerves. And Jesus loved every one of them. Jesus wanted every one of those guys to be saved. That's awesome. That's awesome. But He spoke the truth to them. And He called them hypocrites. I mean, He just right to their face. He said, you guys are just hypocrites. You say one thing, you do another. You teach people to live one way, you don't live that way. All of these things. Jesus was the great example for us of living in boldness where people are concerned and telling the truth. Jesus told the truth without compromise. Right was wrong and right was right and wrong was wrong where Jesus is concerned. He didn't compromise the two. heaven and hell, right and wrong. All of these things were absolutes where Jesus was concerned. And he always spoke the truth about all of those things and never compromised. He was bold in everything that he said. And boldness, listen, brother and sister, boldness is a mark of the church throughout its early history. If you go back and look at the book of Acts and read the book of Acts, this is why I started with Acts 3 and 4 and this particular story, particularly about Peter. Peter and his ministry in Acts 3 and 4, the miracle that takes place. Peter stands before Annas and Caiaphas and preaches Jesus to these very men. Do you remember what Peter was doing? Oh, about 2 months prior to this. On the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, Peter and all of the disciples were hiding in an upper room, fearful of this Annas and Caiaphas guys, that they may do to them what they had just done to Jesus. These were the guys that just had Jesus arrested and crucified, and they were terrified the same thing was going to happen to them. And they're up there. Peter was so terrified of these people. Three times within just a couple of hours, three times, Peter denied even knowing Jesus. I don't know the guy. I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus who? See? And he denied even knowing the Lord. He was this terrified of these guys. And then the Holy Spirit comes. And Peter is transformed from within. He's a different person. Isn't that exactly what Jesus told Peter was going to happen to him? Dude, they call you Simon, but I call you Peter. The day's coming, little buddy. You're going to be a rock. You're going to stand firm. Nobody's going to push you around. Here he is. They've been preaching the gospel. They're arrested by, here they are, Annas, Caiaphas, the very ones they were fearful of. And now he's preaching Jesus to these very people that he had been hiding from just a couple of months before. And he is out there boldly proclaiming Jesus as Messiah. And not only that, this Jesus whom you crucified. Dude, you're responsible for his death. Hey, he could be responsible for Peter's death at any moment. Peter didn't care. Peter just wanted to preach Jesus to anybody and everybody that he could. That ought to be our heart as believers in the Lord. We ought to take every opportunity that's given to us to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and declare who he is and to glorify the name of the Lord. The world needs to hear what you and I know. And throughout the book of Acts, we see example after example after example of this kind of boldness in the believers in those days. In Acts chapter 5, they're again arrested for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look down at Acts chapter 5, about verse 22. This time, this kind of funny one. This is one of those fun stories in the Bible. Peter is arrested again for preaching the gospel. Only this time, an angel of the Lord springs them from jail. And the angel says, go back to the temple and keep preaching Jesus. Go back to where you were. Keep doing what you've been doing. Okay? Now, the authorities didn't know that all this had happened. The next day, the authorities send people down to the jailhouse to get Peter and the group to bring them back up for questioning. The guys go down to the jailhouse. They look inside the jail cell. Ain't nobody home. The door is locked. The guards are still standing there. But there's nobody inside the jail. Somebody comes to them and they said, hey, the people you're looking for, they're back down at the temple. They're preaching Jesus again. So they sent the guards down to the temple to get them to bring them back up for questioning. And so they start questioning them. And this is what's so funny to me. They started questioning by saying, now what right do you have to do what you did? I think I'd have had some different questions for them. Like, how the heck did you get out of there? What happened? See. But you know what they did? They began to preach Jesus to them again. And just kept witnessing boldly before the very people who had the power and authority to take their lives. They didn't care. They're just preaching Jesus. This is what he said to do. Last thing, I've said this so many times in the last 40 years of my life. These guys are just doing the last thing Jesus told them to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I've just said it so many times. When things look good and things don't look so good and all this kind of stuff, I've just said to myself, I'm going to do the last thing Jesus told me to do, and that's to preach and teach the Bible. And that's what I'm going to do until he calls me home or tells me to do something different. But straight through, Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, we're introduced to men that are typically referred to as deacons. One of them, his name is Stephen. The anointing of the Spirit of the Lord's on Stephen's life, and he's out debating and preaching Jesus to the Jews there in Jerusalem. Guess what? He gets arrested for it. They bring him in before the authorities to question him about what he's doing. He's been out there. You can read this. This is Acts chapter 6 and 7. This will take you about 10 minutes to read it. I can do it in 10 seconds. He's preaching Jesus, gets arrested. His defense for preaching Jesus is to preach Jesus. It's all he does. It's all he does. Cost him his life. Stephen becomes the first martyr recorded of the church. He's stoned to death for preaching Jesus. But he sees Jesus in all of his glory before he goes home. And he is absolutely ready to leave this earth and go home to be with Jesus. Acts chapter 9. A man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, basically a terrorist in his day, terrorizing the church, going into Christians' homes and dragging them out and bringing them before the authorities so they can be tried for heresy. He's on his way to Damascus looking for more Jews who have converted to this way that they called it back then, Christianity. And while he's on the way, he meets the way face to face. And Jesus reveals himself to Saul of Tarsus. We know him as Paul. Paul's blinded by the glory of God, led by hand into the city. There's a believer there by the name of Ananias. God speaks to his heart. Ananias, I want you to go down Straight Street and I want you to meet the man, Saul. Now Ananias knew the name Saul. He knew what Saul had done. He knew the man by reputation. Okay? I often wondered if Ananias didn't think, maybe there's somebody else by the name of Saul I'm going to get to visit when I go down there. God said, no, you go visit with Saul. You go down there. You witness to him. You confirm to him everything that I've told him that I'm calling him to do. I want you to lead him to Jesus. I want you to baptize him. I want you to get him healed. Open those eyes. And then get him filled with the Holy Spirit. And Ananias, knowing who this terrorist is that he's about to go visit face to face, boldly goes to see Saul, preaches the gospel to him, gets him saved, healed, water baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what does Paul do? Boldly goes out everywhere he goes, preaching Jesus. Preaching Jesus. Paul went into one city. The name of it escapes me right now. They ran him out of town for preaching. The Jews just didn't want to hear it. They ran him out of town. In fact, they took him out of town and stoned him. Many people believe that Paul actually died. His companions were standing around him outside of the city there where they had stoned him and left him for dead on the road. And they're standing around him and he gets up. Again, some people believe he was raised from the dead. Here's the interesting thing. He doesn't find another city to go preach in. He goes back into the same city they just stoned him in and keeps preaching Jesus. That's boldness, guys. That's boldness. That's what God wants for every one of us as believers in the Lord, that we would have that kind of boldness, that kind of confidence, that we would be willing, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of who it is, we would have the boldness to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ and declare Him for who He is. God wants all of us to have that kind of boldness, to be quick to share the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people will say, Pastor, that's just not my nature. Pastor, I'm an introvert and I can't do things like that. Cry me a river. Listen, I have been an introvert all of my life to this very day. Outside of this little area, I'm as big an introvert as you will find. Outside of this little area, I'd just as soon be in my recliner at home. And y'all leave me alone, all right? Just let me sit there. But look, God called me to do something a long time ago. I told God, when I first got saved, 20 years old, and I told the Lord, boy, I just love the Lord. And I love studying the Bible and going to Bible studies and worshiping the Lord. And I told God, I said, God, back in those days, you know, I'm a weightlifter and I can carry things and I can move stuff and I can do all this stuff. And I told God, I said, Lord, I love you. And I'll serve you, Lord. And I'll do anything you ask me to do. Please, God, don't call me to preach. I've always been terrified of standing in front of people and trying to complete a sentence. I've just been that way all my life. But see, God changed my heart. And God changed my life. Just like He changed Peter, John, and all the rest of them. God did that. And I'm just telling you today, brother and sister, God can change any one of us. Doesn't matter if we're born introverts. That's okay. That's okay. As long as we are willing to let God have control and have His way and to change us and the people that He wants us to be. I want to share with you this morning, just to conclude here, I want to share about four or five things, four or five ways how you and I can be changed by the Lord to walk in the boldness of God to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. A church that pleases God is a church that's boldly witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we walk in that boldness? How do we get that boldness? How do we walk in the boldness of the Lord? Well, first of all, boldness actually will come naturally from conviction. When we're convicted about something, when we have doubts about things, we typically remain quiet about them. But when we become certain, when we become convinced, when we become convicted about something, the more convinced we are, the easier it is for us to talk about those things. Whether it's politics, religion, whatever the topic is, the more comfortable we are with the knowledge that we have, the more likely we are to speak out about what we know. And so conviction and being convinced is one way that boldness comes to us. By the way, that begs a question. Listen to me, please hear this. That begs a question of all of us today. Here's a question. Are we really convinced? Are we really convicted that Jesus is Lord? Are we convinced of that? Maybe our hesitation to speak out about it is maybe we're not as convinced as we think we are. Are we convinced about our own salvation? Are we convinced that Jesus is the only way to salvation? Are we convinced that the world needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ in order to get to heaven? The more we're convicted, the more we are convinced of these things, the more likely we are to speak out about them. Maybe our nature, naturally speaking, is not boldness. But how many of you understand this morning, when you were born again, God gave you a new nature? The Bible tells us in 2 Peter that we've been given the new and divine nature of God. Listen, we have the new and divine nature of God that contains all things pertaining to life and godliness, including the boldness with which to be a witness for Jesus. Can I say this to you today? I want you to hear this. If you're a believer today, if you're a born-again believer today, the boldness of God is already in your heart. The Bible tells us, listen, the Bible tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. If we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, and the fruit of that Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of these kinds of things. If we are born again believers, all of this fruit is already dwelling on the inside of us. Now, we need to cultivate it. We need to nurture it in order for it to grow. But I'm just telling you, it's already in us as believers in the Lord. So is the boldness of God. It's there. And we need to cultivate that boldness. Are you still in Acts by any chance? Acts chapter 4. Look at this with me. Acts chapter 4. And I'll just look at one verse, verse 13. Paul tells us in Ephesians 3 and 12 that by our union with Jesus, that union with Jesus has produced boldness within us. If you're in Christ, boldness is in you. That's a simple way to say it. If you're in Christ, boldness is in you. We just need to cultivate that. We need to nurture it. We need to help it to grow. Look at this verse with you. This was another fun one. Peter and John in that fourth chapter, again, they've been arrested. They've testified to Annas and Caiaphas. They've preached to them. And then it says in verse 13, "Now as they observed the confidence, the boldness of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." Listen to this. These men, their lives were transformed to be what they were and do what they were because, that verse of Scripture tells us, because they had been with Jesus. How much time do you spend with the Lord? How much time do you spend in the presence of God? The more time we spend in the presence of the Lord, the more we're going to be transformed into the likeness of His image and be like this bold Son of God. And develop the boldness of God. These men were uneducated and untrained people. By the way, the word in my translation where it starts off by saying, understood that they were uneducated. Your Bible may use a different word, The Greek word translated uneducated in my translation is the Greek word, listen to this, it's the Greek word that we get the English word idiot from. They saw Peter and John and realized they were idiots. But they had been with Jesus. Listen, even an idiot that'll spend time with Jesus can do awesome things in the Lord, you see. Case in point, right here, you see. Spending time with the Lord, being in the presence of God, knowing who we are in Christ. All of these things will cause the boldness of the Lord to come to the surface. We're in communion with the Lord. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. By our union with Jesus, we have been made righteous before God. Now hear this. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. And Proverbs 29 verse 1 says this, the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Knowing who we are in Christ will cultivate the boldness of the Lord. Again, we're here at the end of Acts chapter 4. Let's look at it again. We read this just a moment ago. I'm almost done, I promise. After Peter and John are released, they come back to the body. They testify to them. They praise. They begin to worship the Lord. Look at verse 29. Here's a prayer that they pray. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, with all boldness, while you extend your hand to heal. Signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Look at this. Look how quickly their prayer was answered. God, help us to go out of here and boldly preach the word of God. And God answers. You know what that shaking is that takes place there? They prayed, God shook the place. That shaking was God saying, amen. Amen literally means, so be it. Okay? God, help us to preach the word. God said, so be it. And the place shakes, and they go out and preach the word with confidence and boldness. One way that boldness comes is as an answer to prayer. Psalm 138 and verse 3 says this, when I called, you answered me and made me bold with strength for my soul. Boldness comes by knowing who we are in Christ. Boldness comes by spending time with the Lord. Boldness comes by praying to the Lord and asking God to bring out this fruit of boldness in our lives. Boldness comes by the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives. Jesus tells us in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, he says, he's getting ready to go. He's getting ready to ascend. And he says, I'm getting ready to go to the Father. You guys go to Jerusalem. I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit. Wait for what the Father had promised. Wait for the Holy Spirit. When he comes, then you will be my witnesses, both here and throughout Samaria, all of Judea, to the endless parts of the earth. Why are they going to be so bold? Because God is going to anoint them with the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit comes. Now listen, one more thing real quickly. It's in us. The boldness of God is in us. We've just got to stir it up. We've got to cultivate it. We can't let it rest. Because what will happen is human nature will take over. Flesh will intercede and take control, and won't allow that boldness to have its true fruit in your life so that you do the things God wants you to do. You'll sit back when opportunity presents itself. You won't speak up when you have a chance to tell somebody about Jesus. There's a beautiful example of this in a young man that the Apostle Paul won to the Lord. The young man's name is Timothy. And Paul would actually have to write to Timothy about the very things that I am preaching to you this morning, believe it or not. Timothy was sort of an introvert. He was very timid. He had to be constantly encouraged to step out. Paul writes to him and he says, Timothy, little buddy's on the inside of you. Just stir it up. Just cultivate it. Let it grow. Turn with me real quickly. 2 Timothy, let's read it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writes his second letter to Timothy, and he says here, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you." Timothy, I know you're a believer. I know you believe in Jesus. You've got a sincere faith within you, which was first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm sure that it's in you as well. For this reason, because I know you believe in Jesus, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of, listen, most translations say God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. The New American says it this way, God has not given you a spirit of timidity. He was timid Timothy. That's who he was. Timid Timothy. Sit back, not speak up, not say too much, not get involved, not rustle feathers, be a little quiet. Timid Timothy. And he reminds Timothy, Timothy, that timid nature that you have, that's not God's plan for your life. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our words, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Look at what he says to Timothy. He says, Timothy, I know you have a strong faith. You've got to start living, Timothy, by that new nature that's within you, by the Holy Spirit that's within you. Timothy, you can't let that human nature of timidity take over. You've got to live by the power of the new nature and the Holy Spirit that's within you. If you'll stir up that new nature and let the characteristics of that new man on the inside of you take control, you won't be timid Timothy anymore, but you'll be bold for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll be on fire for the cause of the gospel, and you'll boldly and faithfully share the gospel and everything else that you need to as a pastor everywhere you go. Let me tell you what he's telling Timothy. Here it is right here. I have found this to be true of the nature of God in my life in so many things. Most of us want to see something before we do something. For most of us, seeing is believing. But from the biblical perspective, believing is seeing. We have to believe first. We have to take the step of faith first. for the first number of years in my ministry, I was still terrified about getting up and speaking in front of people. And getting up on Sunday morning to speak was an act of faith. I had to take that step before I felt the confidence. Okay? We want to feel the confidence first, and then we'll take the step. Seeing is believing. God said, no. Believe. Believe that it's within you. Take the step of faith to do what I'm asking of you. The confidence will follow. Brother and sister, I guarantee you, if you take the step of faith to do what God is calling you to do in any area, if you take the step of faith to do what God is calling you to do, God will back up your faith with His power, and He'll come through. And even where being bold where the gospel is concerned, if you don't feel boldness, don't worry about it. If you don't feel boldness, just be bold anyway. Just be bold anyway. Nobody knows you don't feel it if you're acting it, see? Just do it. Joyce Meyer used to say, people who talked about fear and stuff like that, and Joyce Meyer would say, just do it afraid. Just do it afraid. If we will take the step of faith and do what God says to do, our faith will be met with God's grace and God's power, and the boldness of God will begin to manifest itself in our lives. He promises in the Word. He says, don't sweat it. When you're called to give an account, don't sweat it. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. He'll do it. But brother and sister, we have to take the step of faith first. Believe that the boldness of God is on the inside of you. Stir it up by prayer, by worship, by spending time with Jesus, by calling on the Holy Spirit to fill you again and again, by asking God to fill you with boldness. Let God stir your heart in that way. The boldness of the Lord will begin to manifest in your life. The church that pleases God is a church that's boldly witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, are we pleasing God in this respect? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that there isn't a thing that you have called us to do that you haven't already given us the ability to do it in the strength of your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we're calling on you today as we stir up a spirit of boldness in our hearts. We're calling on you, God, to rekindle the fire of salvation in each of our hearts. Set us ablaze for Jesus and send us out of here to be bold witnesses for our Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.